Hey Paul, good morning everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Ruben. So earlier this year, I moved house for the first time since I was about one. And when I did it when I was one, I wasn't much help. And I really thought that moving house would be a lot of fun and quite exciting. And we were just moving 5 minutes up the road, so I sort of thought, how hard can it be? Turns out very, very hard. It's a lot of work, and I wasn't even in Sydney for the day that we moved. I was up the coast. So I didn't actually do all that much again, but it's still a lot of work to move house. And so when I think about the fact that the people of Judah were run out of Jerusalem and taken to Babylon, I realize what a big deal that is. And moving 5 minutes up the road sounds like I got off with a good deal. And they didn't move because they were getting a nicer house or they were upgrading, but they were moved because they were being forced to move. So when I found out earlier this year that I was reading up on the exile, I did consider, how does somebody get exiled? So I decided to do some research, and I've compiled a book of information, Getting Exiled for Dummies, The Biblical Guide to Getting Exiled Time and Time Again. And it's being released in every good bookstore near you. So let's look at the Babylonian exile and find out what is required to get exiled. So the piece of passage that Paul read for us today is really just a quick snapshot of a much bigger story, a story that we learn more about in the following books after Chronicles. And we don't actually learn a lot about what happens in the exile in the passage, but just that it happened, really. So this morning we'll be looking at the Babylonian exile and three other exiles, and they all have similarities. And through looking at these four exiles, we can see that regardless of what we've done, God wants to get us out of exile and back into relationship with Him. So the Israelites had a very hot and cold relationship with God. And if we're honest, it was probably a lot more cold than it was hot. Sort of throughout the year so far, we've heard the Israelites disobey God time and time again. And it's quite a common theme running throughout the Old Testament, the cycle of sin, oppression, repentance, and then deliverance. And when we arrive at the biblical timeline here, the Israelites are on another downward spiral, and they have been since the death of King Josiah, who was their last decent king. You can see on the timeline on the far right-hand side, Josiah's name there, and then not too long after that, the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem and exiled the leaders, so not long after the reign of King Josiah. But 2 Chronicles 34 speaks of King Josiah. He lived in a way that pleased the Lord, always doing what was right, as his ancestor David had done. Josiah never changed his way of life. When he was in his 12th year as king, he began to destroy the high places, the Asherah poles and idols that were carved and the idols that were made from molds from Judah and Jerusalem. Josiah was a good king. He obeyed God. He was getting rid of the idols. He was bringing the people back to God. And however, as soon as King Josiah died, the Israelites started on this downward spiral. They started turning away from God, worshipping idols, and once again, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So God, having pity on them and wanting to help them, he sends them prophets and warnings to try and get them back on track. And we heard one of these last week from Ross, when God speaks to Solomon in 1 Kings 9, 6 to 9. And that says, "If you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, 'Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple?' The people will answer, 'Because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshipping and servicing them. And that is the why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. And then there's another warning in Jeremiah 32, verse 32 to 33. And that says, the sins of Israel and Judah, the sins of the people of Jerusalem, the kings, the officials, the priests and the prophets have stirred up my anger. The people have turned their backs on me and have refused to return, even though I diligently taught them. They would not receive instructions or obey. So God isn't happy that he's had to give the Israelites so many chances. He gave them the Ten Commandments, he's given them the temple, warnings and prophets, and yet they still choose to disobey him. And the verse 16 in the passage that Paul read says that they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of God was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. And that phrase sounds absolutely terrifying to me. Until the wrath of God was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. Like, think, considering how loving and patient and forgiving God is, for the Israelites to get to that stage is a very serious matter. However, despite everything that they'd done, their continued disobedience, God still had mercy. He could have allowed the Babylonians to completely wipe out the Israelites. But he allowed the Babylonians to take control of Jerusalem and exile the rest of the Israelites and send them to Babylon. So the Israelite people were still in existence. But the Babylonians, they didn't stop with the killing and the exile. They also looted and destroyed the temple, which symbolized the people's exile from God. An exile that really started when they started disobeying God and worshipping other idols. Now, regardless of what the Israelites had done here, God still wanted to get them out of exile and bring them back into relationship with him. So during this week, I've been reading up on a few stories of people that have been sort of exiled in, I guess, more modern times. And two words that continually came up in almost every story that I read were fear and uncertainty. Being taken away from your home, being sent somewhere new, having no time to prepare or pack or plan, and generally all of this happening under the threat of your life. So why does God put the Israelites through this? Has he given up on them? Has he chosen a new people? Maybe the Babylonians will be more obedient. Is he just taking a break from their disobedience? Is he just sick of them? No. So God here is still trying to get his message across. The same message that the prophets were sharing, that the people need to repent and come back to God. Jeremiah 29:10-14 says, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nation where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. God has to go to some pretty extreme measures to get this message across. God wants to see the Israelites restored, but if they are still worshipping idols when he does that, then they're just going to account their restoration to the idols that they're worshipping and not to God. So God needed to wait until they came back to him before he could help them. Now, in this passage in Jeremiah, we can see that God is in control, and he has been in control from the beginning. This passage also shares that they should have hope and that they're not alone, and that one day they'll be back in the promised land again. Regardless of the things that they had done, God still wanted to bring them out of exile and restore that relationship with him. Now, over the next few weeks, I believe we're looking at some of the prophets that sort of lived throughout the time of the exile. So we'll see what sort of happened during the exile a little bit more closely there. So as we get to the end of the exile, we see the way that it's handled is a complete opposite to the exodus from Egypt. At the end of the Babylonian exile, the king Cyrus says, "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up, and may the Lord their God be with them." Now, if you consider this and compare this to the Egyptian exodus, it's a completely different way of the leader handling things. But that just shows that depending on the different situation, God handles things differently. The Israelites had been in Egypt for over 400 years and were quite comfortable there, so they needed quite a big shake-up. Whereas the Israelites had only been in Babylon for 70 years, and some of them had actually lived in the promised land themselves. As God had told Jeremiah, he moved the heart of Cyrus to let the Jewish people go back home to rebuild the temple. But Cyrus didn't stop there. He also gave the Jews over 5,000 gold and silver items for that temple rebuild. And so God had repatriated the Jews. So he'd brought the Jews back home to the promised land, back to where they belong, back to where they're meant to be. And regardless of all these things that they had done, God still wanted to bring them out of exile and get them back into relationship with him. Now, the Jews were back in Jerusalem, the promised land, but their relationship with God was still broken. They were still exiled from God because they were still living in sin. So let's have a quick look at the five, I guess, major things in the exile. So number one, the people were living in harmony with God or under his rule. So when King Josiah was in charge, the Israelites had a good relationship with God. After King Josiah died, the people messed up, and they messed up, and they messed up, and they went against God. Step number three, the people were exiled from God's presence. So the Israelites were taken to Babylon and exiled from the promised land and from their connection with God. Number four, God brings them back home to him. So God brings them out of Babylon back into Jerusalem, just as he promised. And number five, they're home, but they're not fully restored. Their connection with God is still broken because of the sin they're living in, even though they're back home where they want to be. Now, despite all the things the Jewish people had done, God still fulfilled his promises and brought them out of exile back into the promised land. And he did this to restore the relationship with him. So now we're going to look at another exile that happens. And I call this the first exile or the Eden exile. Now, the Eden exile runs sort of on a similar vein to the Babylonian Empire. And this exile is quite representative of humanity. From Adam and Eve to you and I, it's the human condition. Similarly to the Babylonian exile, it follows the five-step guide to getting exiled, and it starts with Adam and Eve having a good, strong connection with God. They walked with God and lived in his presence in the garden, and they had a close relationship with God, and everything was perfect. They were warned not to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but they disobeyed God's rule, and because of that, they were exiled from Eden. But more significantly, they were exiled from their relationship with God. This exile still plagues the world today. The next step is repatriation, the reconciliation back to God. And this is where we stay for a long time as people still are looking to do that. And God, over the Old Testament, gives the Israelites and people little band-aid solutions to help, but there's no permanent solution in the Old Testament. So he starts with giving Adam and Eve animal skins to help cover their nakedness and their shame. And then he gives us the law, sacrificial offerings, but all these are just merely temporary solutions. humanity is still exiled from God. But as we can see in step four, God desires this repatriation. God wants us to come home. He doesn't want us to be exiled from him. Regardless of the things that we've done, God wants us to come out of exile and back into relationship with him. So he has to give us a permanent solution. And this is where we move into our next exile, the voluntary exile. Now, normally when you think of exile, it's not a voluntary decision. I don't think I've ever heard of a story of someone wanting to be exiled. However, there is one story, and that's Jesus. Jesus exiles himself from heaven with God for a rescue mission to a foreign land to bring his people home. And I can definitely tell you, it's not because things are better on earth than they are in heaven, because that's not true. So why did Jesus exile himself? As we've heard from the Babylonian and the Eden exiles, exiles aren't a good thing. They're not fun. They're not exciting. But Jesus did it for us. He did it to come and give us a chance to go home with God. And Jesus even followed the five-step guide. So he was living in harmony with God. He was living in heaven. Humans messed up and were broken by sin. So it wasn't his sin that was the issue. It was our sin. Jesus exiled himself from God's presence. Then Jesus' sacrifice allows us to be repatriated, and Jesus dying on the cross covers our sins. And Jesus defeated death, which gives us a permanent reconciliation with God, the permanent solution. Jesus offered himself. He was separated from God, not because he had done anything wrong, but because we had. To save us and bring us back from exile, he himself had to be exiled. To save us from our punishment, he had to be punished. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22, it says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we are no longer alienated or exiled from God, but we have a chance to go back home. We're no longer slaves to our sin. Our reconciliation is permanent. And regardless of what we've done, God wants to get us out of exile and back into relationship with him. Now, the last exile is our exile, you and I. Our country, our state, our suburbs are full of people that are exiled, not necessarily from their countries or their families or from their homes, but from God. And we too, just like Adam and Eve, just like the people of Judah, have been exiled. Our sin has exiled us from a relationship with God. And each of us have sinned in different ways, in different amounts, and we've made different mistakes. But all of it breaks that relationship that we should have with God. And I believe that people have a longing to get out of this exile, but they just don't have a good understanding of what the exile truly is. People try to fill that hole with money or power or position or family or anything that makes them feel better, anything to fill that hole in their lives. But what we're truly missing is that relationship with God. And God wants to bring us out of this exile, and we can never be too far gone. We can never be too far out of his reach. Because of what Jesus did, all of us have the chance to come out of exile and be reconciled with God. That opportunity is open to everyone, irrespective of their past, irrespective of what they've done. Now, many of us have already accepted this gift of reconciliation, and we have been repatriated back into relationship with God. And this is just the start. We then have the responsibility to tell other people how they can get out of exile. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20 says, "All this from God reconciled himself reconciled himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is our task, to help bring people out of exile and back into relationship with God. Now, I haven't written a book about how to do this. I'm a busy man. But there is a book that already exists, and it's the Bible. The more that we read it, the more that we understand, and the more that we understand God, the more effectively that we'll be able to help other people get out of exile. And knowing that the people that we meet every day in our lives are in exile should give us a greater compassion for them and to help them. Regardless of what we've done or what the people in our lives have done, God wants to get us out of exile and back into relationship with him. Now, at the beginning of this service, we asked you to let us know what home means to you. So I've got a couple of answers here that I'll read out. I'm not going to read them all. So Rob says that home has been the center of our world for the last few months, which is very true. A few people said their dogs or dog hair is home. A safe place, comfort, family, a place of acceptance, security. So these are the things that home means to us now. But being home with God means peace, it means hope, it means love, it means security, and it means filling that longing that each of us have. And that's why God wants us to come home. He loves us and he wants us to have peace, hope, security, and he wants us back where we belong. The story of the Babylonian exile is one that strongly reflects the situation of humanity. Being exiled from the place that we belong, the Jewish people were in exile because of their continued disobedience towards God, and we are in exile because of our disobedience towards God. The Jewish people got to a point where the wrath of God was aroused against his people that there was no remedy. But God did not destroy them. He did not give up on them. He just needed to show them that they were living in sin. God is always in control, as it said in Jeremiah. And the same goes for us. We've fallen short of God's standards, and we too have been exiled. But God has made the ultimate sacrifice for us to give us a way back to him. Regardless of anything that we've done, God's still trying to get us out of exile and back into relationship with him. Let's pray, and then we'll hand over to Brad. Lord, we just thank you that you never give up on us. We thank you that we can never be too far gone and that you always want to bring us out of exile. We thank you for the great sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, which enables us to come back to you. And I just pray that this week that we'll see that other people are in exile and we'll look at ways of helping them come out of that exile. Amen.